Hey there, and welcome to Single to Soulmates. I'm Tanya Alberti, your soulmate manifestation guru, and I am a spiritual guide and teacher, a relationship expert, and I help men and women ditch the endless dating bullshit and call in their sacred union. I do this by helping you to release your emotional wounds and align with your own soul so that you can step into the best and highest version of yourself and start manifesting that one-of-a-kind soulmate love that you are longing for. So compatibility and attraction, two hot button topics when it comes to successful relationships. So which is more important? Is one more important than the other? I've had a few people messaging me saying that absolutely, hands down, attraction is the most important thing. Their love language is touch and personal connection. And if they don't have sex, then there's no relationship. But then I've also heard from other people saying absolutely compatibility is key. So what do you think? We're going to talk about it. So tune in and give this episode a listen. So welcome. Hello, everyone. Today, the topic is going to be about compatibility versus attraction and which is more important, or is one more important than the other? Are they important? Is one better than the other? Do you need one? Do you need both? The whole deal. So let's get into it. So, Erica, what are your thoughts about which is more important in a relationship? Or do you think one's more important than the other?
I think both are important, but compatibility is very important. I didn't know about compatibility when I entered my first marriage. Like, that was my love at the first sight. And then that was my ex-husband's love at the first sight. So it was huge attraction toward each other. And we are like, oh my God, this is destiny. Of course, we're super young. But we are saying, oh my God, this is destiny. Like, we are like meant to be with each other, that kind of thing. I went out for a year and they got married. And then, of course, we found out that we are super not comparable. That got nothing to do with race or culture. It's just because I did get along with other exes that, you know, so it's not culture, it's not the race. It's just he was very different kind of person. So he wasn't well traveled. So, for example, when we decided to go to honeymoon, he didn't know how to do the exchange of the money because we wanted to bring the cash. So I told him to go to Chase and then just exchange money, right? And then what he did was, it was so stupid. He couldn't do it. He said they didn't know how to do it. What do you mean they didn't know how to do it? And then he came back with the same dollar. And then we had to leave the next day.
That's so funny.
So we had a big fight in front of our best friend. Because what's the point of just bringing a dollar, right? And then I know it was cheaper to do it at the bank than like go do it at the airport, and we didn't want to do it like, you know, hotel or somewhere, because of course I guess nowadays we can just get money from ATM, but the point is, like, that's the funniest example, but thing is, like, he just didn't, the many things he didn't know, like he didn't put down the toilet sheet down, you know. So every single time I have to do it, or I had to tell him to do it, and it made me feel like I'm his mother, not his wife. So that didn't make me feel good. So, yeah, like compatibility. Like, he isn't a really clean person to begin with, which I didn't know that, because every time I went to his place, it was clean. So I assumed his cleanness is okay, but it was hideous. So, like, that was that was a huge battle to even meet in the middle, because I'm very flexible. So you kind of have to meet in the middle to get along with each other, right? So during my marriage, I was kept on thinking, maybe I wasn't compromising enough. You know, I wasn't meeting in the middle enough. I wasn't trying hard enough. And then after, you know, we got divorced, and then I met next my fabulous ex. We are so comparable. So I didn't really have to compromise much. Then I was thinking, wow, how come I don't have to compromise much? And then I learned about the compatibility. And then I was like, uh-huh, compatibility is important. I never heard of compatibility, but I guess attraction is not everything, and love doesn't conquer everything. That was my credo. Love will conquer for everything. It doesn't. You got to be compatible.
Yeah, and I'm over here cracking up because that is so true. And the interesting thing is, I have to tell you, and while we're talking about our own personal stuff, my first marriage was exactly the opposite. I was not even really remotely attracted to him, but he wore me down. And we were like instantly connected, like instant best friends. We had so much in common, and he made me laugh, and he was fun to hang out with. And he kept like wanting to be interested in a relationship with me. And I was like, yeah, I'm not feeling it, you know? And after months of just like constantly kind of badgering me about, you know, being in a relationship, I'm kind of like, well, you know what? I can do better. I mean, I can't really do better. He's great. We get along so well. We have fun together. You know, we spend so much time together, and I always have a great time. So why not? Right. And eventually we got married. And about 3 months into our relationship, I was like, whoa, I made a mistake. Like, we get along great, but I mean, he was more like a friend, but I wasn't really attracted to him. But yet we were best friends. So I'm like, that's the whole thing. And while I was looking up this difference between attraction and compatibility, and looking at the research out there, I found a couple of people that were saying basically compatibility without attraction is friendship. And I'm like, that's exactly what my first marriage was. Like, I had the perfect best friend, but was I attracted to him? No. I used to dread going to bed at night because I was like, ugh, I'm going to have sex with this guy and I don't want to, you know, because I'm like, I wasn't attracted to him. But yet, because don't even get me started on my own inner issues, my own insecurities, and my programming, I was like, well, I made my bed, I have to lay in it. And, you know, because of my family and this and that. So I stayed married for 10 years, two kids later, that before I realized that, you know what, I want more than this. I know there's more out there. And did I feel horribly guilty about divorcing him? Yeah, of course I did, because we're friends. We're still friends. And granted, we had a rough patch, obviously, after we got divorced. But, you know, we are still very good friends. But I think that was kind of like the whole point. We were only ever compatible without that attraction factor. So again, like I said, compatibility without attraction is friendship. So looking at the other spectrum, just attraction. I've had those relationships as well, where I was insanely attracted to somebody. Like, the chemistry was so intense. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't keep my hands off of him. And, you know, I just was like, the sexual energy was like supercharged. And like, I, you know, constantly was like, just that physical attraction, that rush of emotion and all of that stuff. I just kind of felt like, oh, you know, that animal magnetism. And it was so intense. But yet, after a while, that burns out. Because when you're spending time with somebody that you're like, think is intensely sexy or just super gorgeous to you, you know, they're totally under your skin and all of these things. But when that starts to fade, and it does, when that starts to fade, you start to look at, what do you have left? What do you have? Are you compatible with that person? And more often than not, I found that I was not. So the key is to really, again, like anything else, find that balance. And I absolutely believe that in order to have a relationship, it all starts with attraction, right? Attraction is important. You being attracted to like whatever it is about them physically, whether it's their sense of humor, whether it's their body, whatever it is, the way they look to you, that attraction is what is going to draw you in to begin with. But that is not what sustains the relationship. You have to have compatibility. You know, like Erica, like you very well mentioned, you know, you were super attracted, but when you found out there wasn't a lot of compatibility, things kind of fell apart. And there was a study done by Monmouth University back in, I think, 2017, that almost 1,000 people were surveyed and they were discussing, you know, what makes their relationship good. And all of these people, no, I shouldn't say all of them, about 80%+ of people said that what made their marriage good and sustainable was the fact that their partner was their best friend. So considering your partner to be your best friend is a big component of quality in relationships. And these people were married over 15 years. So they're talking about sustainability, you know, what makes your relationship sustainable. And there is that essence of compatibility. So of course, attraction is important, you know, because like in my experience, I wasn't attracted to my person I married. Not really. I tried to be. I tried to force it and it just didn't happen because the physical attraction just really wasn't there. But I was like, oh, but he's such a good guy and he makes me laugh and there's so much compatibility. But, you know, there you have it. Without attraction, compatibility is friendship. And that's what we ended up being. We are friends. We were living like as roommates, like really good friends. But there was no physical attraction on my part. So I couldn't sustain that. So you do have to have that. And I think there has to be an essence of that. But I don't think attraction is as important as compatibility when it comes to long term. Erica, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I did have a relationship. Your story reminded me. This guy, he was so aggressive, and then he wasn't my type physically at all. But my friend said, you know, it's a good idea to go out with a guy who is crazy about you. You know, he will grow into you. You're probably going to start attracted to him because he loves you so much. So at that time, I was only 19, you know. So I was like, oh, maybe she's right. So I decided to go out with this guy. And I still remember, like, he was a good lesson. So I'm never going to do that. When we are walking in Manhattan, I see some cute guy on the street. I kept on thinking, how come this guy isn't my boyfriend? You know? And then it was very difficult to break up. But like 3 months later, I realized this isn't working, right? But this guy was extremely, what you're going to call it, aggressive. So I had a hard time breaking up with him. So I was with him about 2 years. And then because I was so close with the family, like his father's side of family and everything. So it was really difficult to break up. But I did learn the 2 years of being together, attraction never grow, ever. So this was a big lesson for me that sometimes I hear the guy, like, you know, they're saying like, oh, she's my best friend. And I you know, the physical stuff is not important. I think, you know, some guys are talking about politically correct sentence. I think that's fucking bullshit. Excuse my French. Because sex is really important in marriage, you know. So you have to have sex. And let's say both of you are super busy and then with kids or whatever, like really busy. And if you are not attracted to each other, or one person is not attracted to the other side, you don't have enough motivation to say yes when you don't feel like it, you know? And then guys, they need sex. The frequency might be different person by person. So if we, means female, are not attracted to our man, it's very hard to have sex with him. Very hard. Because other things can put as our priority, like kids or work or whatever, right? And it's super tired. So it is really important in order to have a good marriage, happy marriage. Of course, compatibility is really important too, but sexual part of marriage is important to grow. And then both of you can be faithful with each other. So, you know, we gotta be as a female, try to be as attractive as possible, you know, but it's important to choose a guy we feel attracted to. Of course, we both get old or whatever, that's not the point. Your person will be attractive in that age range forever. So you grow old, he grows old, you know, it's not like all suddenly you're gonna start seeing somebody younger is attractive. It's not like that because you have a history together. But the basic attraction need to be there because, again, you are going to be with each other for long term. And then, you know, if person is like me, I have so many things I need to be doing, then still, you know, the sex has to be there, then he has to be attractive enough for me to say yes. You know, and I'm pretty sure so many women can agree with it, because if you have to juggle so many things, let's say you're not just housewife and, you know, don't have a kids, don't have a job, maybe you have enough psychological room to say yes. But if you have to juggle your kid, you know, who knows how many, and then your job, and then house chore, and on top of it, taking care of your husband, taking care of yourself, you know, need a lot of motivation. And attraction is really important, really important. And that's the one of the big lesson I learned. So from my previous experiences, I do choose the person who I feel physically attracted to and comparable. Then you will have long-term happy relationship with each other with all like balanced manner. And then after I learned that, like I was like, oh, that's my golden rule. So that's what I recommend my client as well. Because some people, they just talk themselves into like, oh, maybe I'm gonna start liking him or liking her. Yeah, but we're animal too. Like, we do sense our person at an animalistic level. So it is very important to not to ignore that part. It doesn't grow into it, you know, really.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And like my experience clearly is a perfect example of that. Because that attraction, like I said, I stayed in that marriage for 10 years. Were we compatible? Heck yeah. Did we have a great time together? Absolutely. But when it came to the attraction factor and being in the bedroom and the whole sexual experience, I like would dread it. Like I really would dread it because I'm like, I am so not attracted to him. But the compatibility was there. So it is all about balance and it starts with attraction. So if you can find somebody that you are insanely attracted to, who is also super compatible with you, then that's like hitting the jackpot. And that's exactly how I really feel that, you know, the soulmate connections are. You're going to find somebody that you are insanely attracted to, like you are so enamored with, and you just think they're amazing and they look incredible and they're beautiful. And then as you age, that never changes. That never changes. And I can tell you that for a fact, because I know I'm with my soulmate, my twin flame. We met, you know, almost 20 years ago. And when I met him, I was like, oh my gosh, this man is beautiful. Like I was so like everything about him, his body, his eyes, his smile, everything, like the physical stuff, right? And I was like, I was so attracted to him. But the more time I spent with him, the more I realized how completely compatible we were, that everything just clicked. We were so in sync. Like everything just, we had the same opinions about things. We had the same, you know, like he made me laugh, but at the same time, we just complimented each other so well. And I, as I look back over our relationship, I can see that, yes, I mean, not to get too personal, but as we've aged, it doesn't matter that we've gotten older. I still find him incredibly attractive. Like, yes, our bodies aren't perfect. You know, as we age, we get wrinkles, we gain weight, you know. And both of us, like, we were complaining about this the other day. I'm like, gosh, I've gained so much weight. You know, I'm menopausal. I've gained this weight here. And what the heck is going on with my body? And this sucks. And I don't look like I'm 20 anymore, you know. But he's like, it doesn't matter. He's like, I don't care. You know, if you've gained 100 pounds, he's like, I still think you're beautiful. And it's the same thing with him, you know. Like, yeah, he's gained a little weight. And he's got a little more wrinkles as we've gotten older, you know. And I still look at him and I'm like, I can still look at him and hold that intensity of attraction, you know, even though his body's changed and even though my body's changed, you know, because it's going to happen. It's part of life. You know, we age, we get older. So that attraction is still there, right? But the compatibility, the friendship, he is, I mean, I could truly say he is my best friend. Who do I want to talk to when something goes wrong in my life? Him. You know, who do I share my every deepest, dark secret with? Him. And that is what's important. You know, it's finding that balance. So yes, attraction draws you in, but you have to have that compatibility. And I love to follow the work of Dr. John Gottman, the Gottman Institute. You know, he's written so many books and he has so many incredible things to say about relationships. And he's a marriage expert and an author and he does all these things. But he wrote this great book called Why Marriages Succeed or Fail. And in this book, it talks about how important it is for your marriage to see your spouse as your best friend, and that deep friendship is the foundation of a happy marriage. And, you know, he talks about, you know, what that looks like. And there's another one of his books that I've read a few times, actually, because I read these books of his a lot, because it helps me in my dealing with couples that I coach and talk to when I do relationship counseling. But there's another book called The Seven Principles for Making Marriage Work that Dr. Gottman wrote. And it really talks about what that friendship and marriage looks like. And it talks about mutual respect. It talks about enjoying each other's company. It talks about knowing each other on that very intimate level, you know? So like knowing what your person likes, what they don't like, what their personality quirks are, what their hopes and dreams are, you know, all of these things are so important. And it's not just about, you know, yes, I'm attracted to them. Of course, that's important. You know, that's, like I said, what draws you in and what sustains that. It sustains your sex life. It sustains all of these things, you know, but it goes so much deeper. It goes so much deeper than that. And when you look at all of these important things about what is intimacy, you know, it's so much more than just a physical act. It's that connection. It's that soul to soul connection, that emotional connection, and knowing each other on such a deep level. And that's where that compatibility comes in, you know, being able to sustain that relationship by marrying your best friend, you know, being in that relationship with somebody who really you have common values with, you communicate well with, you have fun with them, you enjoy spending time with them. That is all super important to have that balance in that love relationship.
Yes. And then Dr. Gottman's book, I do recommend for people who are singles, 8 Dates. That's a great book. I'm going to use it for my relationship because he was saying there are a lot of topics you need to speak about when you are like, not just casually dating, I'm saying you decided to get into the relationship. And then after we finish all this talk, you can find out about your compatibility or if your difference is workable, right? It's not like, wow, everything gonna be the same. Of course, even if like topic is similar enough, like your way of thinking and his way of thinking is similar enough, it's not exactly the same. So when you talk about all these different topics with each other, you can kind of find out how workable with each other, right? If your comparability is close enough, like if you're comparable enough, you don't have to be the same, because, you know, a marriage is a teamwork and marriage is a cooperation. So how can both of you will be the good team with each other to build something amazing, right? So when you talk about all this topic, because when I look at my own relationship or my client's relationship, we don't talk about all these 8 different topics. Maybe 2-3 topics, but not covering all 8. But according to him, these are very important topics to talk about before you get into the lifetime commitment with each other. So anytime you decided to be with exclusive with a person, this is a good idea to talk about these topics on the book with each other. Then you know, okay, this is 100% like marriage material with each other, that kind of thing. So you save a lot of time. You're not gonna like realize like after you get married, oh, we haven't talked about it, and then wow, it's gonna be climbing the Everest. It's not gonna be like that. So I think this is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, you know, and I think I love Gottman's work. I think his stuff is so insightful, and he's done so many years of research on this. And it's so interesting to me. Like, I read it all the time because I'm like, gosh, it's so curious. But it's so funny because I look at, you know, when you talk about your clients, I've worked with several couples, and it's so fascinating to me because it's interesting when I look at people's perceptions, you know, what their perception is. And I find that probably half of the couples that I've worked with really truly believe that attraction is everything, that they've got this intense chemistry and there's so much sexual charge in their relationship. And, you know, that, you know, it's just this intensity, but I keep trying to tell them why they're having problems is because there's no compatibility. You know, you can have the best sex ever. I don't care. Like the mind blowing, whatever your kinky fetish is, the loving, communicative, intimate sex, but it doesn't mean that you have, just because you have mind-blowing sex, that they're your one. I think there's a lot of people out there that you can have major chemistry with, but chemistry is not the deciding factor in figuring out if you can make things work. Because what happens when you're out of the bedroom? Then what? You know, is he an asshole? You know, is he being a jerk during the day? You know, does he have beliefs that don't line up with yours? Does he have values that don't line up with yours? You know, all of these things. Because trust me, I've been there. I have had the full gamut of experiences in my own life. And I can honestly tell you, I've had relationships, and I wouldn't even call them relationships. They were like friends with benefits. But like, I've had sexual encounters with people that I was just insanely physically attracted to. But they were like the worst person in the world for me to be with. Like, we absolutely did not have anything that was relatable outside of the bedroom. So yeah, okay, chemistry is important. It's important, but it's not the thing that sustains your relationship. However, if you have chemistry with somebody that is compatible, that will sustain your relationship. So you have to look for both, right? And even then, you know, even if you're just looking on the terms of compatibility, like I said, with my first marriage, just because you have shared interests doesn't mean you're compatible. Just because you get along with somebody and there's no attraction, it doesn't mean that that's going to last. You have to have both. And there has to be like that equal balance of, you know, that attraction factor, but also compatibility, because relationships aren't magic. You know, it's not movies and TV. You know, even though we've been programmed to like believe that, you know, as much as I love, and not to kind of like get side railed, but here, but as much as I love movies like The Notebook, and I love movies like, you know, what's another one? What am I trying to think of? An Officer and a Gentleman. You know, it's like we get these Hollywood glamorized things of everything's happy ever after and everything's beautiful and everything's wonderful. But, you know, when it really comes down to day-to-day life, you have to have the same values. You have to have the same goals. You have to understand each other's hopes and dreams. You have to be moving in the same direction. And when you're not, that's why relationships kind of crumble. Sex only gets you so far, you know? That physical attractiveness only gets you so far. And if that's all there is without any substance to the relationship, you know, that friendship, that connection, that understanding, that being on the same page, getting each other. And I will tell you, that's the one thing that when I first met my husband, that was the one thing he continued to say to me again and again and again. You get me. You understand me. You appreciate me for where I'm at. You know, you're not trying to change me, fix me, mold me into something else. You get me where I'm at right now. And that is what I'm talking about when it comes to compatibility. You understand each other. You're in the same lane. You know what I mean? If that makes sense, it's super important.
And how do you know about compatibility? One good indication is if you are okay with who he is as is. Okay? Because a lot of women, they are like, oh, I'm not going to say anything until I'm married to him. And then they're going to start changing him. And that then the horrible thing going to start. It's either you take him as is and think he'll never, ever going to change. And are you happy with it? You know, that's the comparability. Of course, you grow with each other and you both grow. But the basic thing in life need to be comparable enough. You know, about money. You know, money is one of the huge things people fight about. So how do you spend money? How do you save money? It's not about which bank. I'm talking about attitude toward money. Like if you are the kind of like a person who is looking for the best of best thing and want to buy that because you can afford it, or your person is like, okay, he has plenty of money, but he always look for something cheap, like most affordable thing or discount or deals. Or if both of you are having a totally different way of looking at the money, you all have fight. And that's a huge thing people fight about. So, you know, think about five most important things in life when you're living together with someone. And then, you know, small thing you can budge with each other or whatever, but big thing, you know, this has to be this way. And that has to match. And then both of you need to be flexible enough, because it's not like, wow, I'm going to find someone just like me. It's not going to be like that, you know. So flexibility, and then something what your aim must has to match with his, and his must match with yours.
Exactly. Anyway, I think there are some things you can do. So as far as like offering advice or tips on how you can differentiate, you know, whether it's just attraction that you're feeling or whether it's compatibility or if it's both. Because I think a lot of times people confuse chemistry with compatibility. So like I said, that attraction absolutely is necessary in the beginning. And early on in a relationship, that's kind of what pulls you together with somebody. But that fades over time if you don't share that core value and mutual respect and that friendship amongst the both of you. So like we said, it is 100% possible to have both, and it is necessary to have both. So having that authentic connection with somebody is really what is going to sustain it over the long term. But in the beginning of a relationship, you know, like Erica mentioned earlier, we tend to present our best selves, right? We tend to present our, you know, most attractive version of ourselves. You know, but what happens when you're like 5, 6, 7 years in a relationship and it's a Saturday and you're doing chores and you're like sweaty and hanging out, no makeup because you don't feel like getting dressed and getting ready on a weekend. You know, when attraction is the only thing there based on that illusion of what you present yourself to be first, you know, we're all, you know, made up and our hair is done and we have makeup on and we always look pretty and all of these things. Of course, because you're on your first dates, that's how you present yourself. But as time goes on, you get more comfortable with each other and you're like coming out of the bedroom in the morning and you're, you know, your hair's a mess and you're in cruddy pajamas and you're doing chores and you're cleaning and you're cooking or whatever, you're taking care of the kids. And, you know, there has to be more substance to that relationship than just attraction. So, I think there are some signs that you can look at that show where that compatibility comes into play that can overweigh that chemistry in a relationship. So, you know, where compatibility takes more of a center stage than just attraction. So I think, for one, if you're comfortable with each other, right? If you're comfortable, you don't feel like you have to impress them. You know, and I can say this for myself because yes, of course, I want to look good for my husband. I want to look attractive for him, but it's not 24/7. You know, it's not sustainable. Life happens, you know. I mean, I'm out doing, you know, chores around the house or cleaning or whatever, and I'm looking like a mess. And if I had to be on point 24/7 and looking like a gorgeous goddess all the time in order to keep him around, I'd be in trouble because I'm telling you, I look a mess on the weekends, and I'll own that for sure. So compatibility really comes into that when you can be comfortable around them, like you can be your real self all the time. And I think another thing is too, is when you have true affection and passion for each other, you know, like I said, sexual chemistry comes in and goes hand in hand with affection, but that general affection that you share with each other, just in day-to-day life. And just like a good example, I can think of, you know, when and I we use my relationship as an example, but when, you know, I'm in the kitchen and my husband comes by and smacks me on the butt, or walks by me in the hallway and grabs my hand just as he's walking by, or as I'm sitting on the couch and he may, you know, we're making a joke about something, or he'll give me like a little pinch or a little kick on the foot. You know, it's those little moments of affection that show that there's that passion and attraction that's still there. And that's a sign of a healthy relationship, you know, that where you have that balance, you have that compatibility, and you still have that attraction. And I think also, you know, respect comes into play, admiration, when you admire your partner for who they are as a person, sharing those similar values, you know, I mentioned that. But I think the big thing above all else, and I know I mentioned this a minute ago, but when your partner accepts you for who you are and doesn't try to change you, it is not conducive to any relationship to try to change that other person. So if you're unhappy with the situation, with the way things are, and you're like, they need to do this, they need to be this, they need to be a certain way to make me feel better, then that's not sustainable and that's not going to last. And it's not healthy because you need to love and accept and appreciate them for who they are all the time, where they're at. Do they do things that you don't like? Of course, they're going to do things you don't like. Nobody's perfect. You know, no relationship is perfect. But overall, you know, like the predominant factor of the relationship is that you're happy with them as they are, not just because of that attractiveness factor, but that shows that compatibility. You know, if you find yourself always wanting to change something, to fix something, to rearrange something, to have them do something differently, do something better, do something more, then really take a look at that. Are you happy? Because I'm sorry, if you're going to be with somebody that you have to constantly fix or change or make them do something different, then that's not a compatible relationship and that's not sustainable. And what do you think about that, Erica?
Exactly, because marriage, it's not unless you decided to just be only two of you, right? You're gonna have kids, you're gonna have a dog, you're gonna have relatives. I mean, and you have your job, everything. You have to deal with everything. So like, you don't really have a time to coaching your partner or fixing your partner, you know, fixing with each other, that kind of thing. Unless some women, they love telling man what to do and fixing him. So if you are that kind of woman, I'm not going to say like, oh, you know, don't choose your project as your husband or whatever, you know. But if you want to have like stress-free, you know, easy breezy marriage, of course, you always going to have something you need to tackle on as a couple. But, you know, relationship between you and him are pretty much really good because you're comparable, right? So if you want to have that kind of relationship, if you are dating with a guy and it feels like you need to change him a lot and you're not happy as is, well, maybe it's a good idea to find somebody else, really. And that's my suggestion before you get too emotionally attached to him. And there are someone who is more comparable than the other person, so... You know, don't get attached to one person to think, oh, he's the one. Because even for the chemistry factor, I read some people's chemistry wear off after 4 or 5 years. That doesn't really include twin flame or soulmate, but I'm talking about regular people. So after your chemistry is gone and everything left is like your incompatibility, your marriage is gonna be very difficult. So seriously need to think about, do you like this person as is, and are you attracted to this person? Because if you have attraction and then with comparability, attractive factor grow because you're comparable, so it doesn't really deter your aging or your gain weight or you lose weight, that kind of thing, because you fall in love with that person's soul and then you liked this person's physical, you know, stuff in the beginning to begin with, so it never goes away.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing too with compatibility. I mean, there's different types of compatibility, right? And as we wrap things up, I just want to mention this. There are 4 main types of compatibility, and they're all necessary for healthy relationships, right? And of course, there's physical compatibility. That's the first one. And I know that sounds superficial, but like we said, physical attraction is necessary for that relationship to really start, to kind of take hold and be maintained. You have to be attracted to your partner, right? The second one is emotional compatibility. So you can be attracted to somebody physically, but if there's no connection to that person emotionally, there's nothing that's going to develop past that, right? It's just going to be sex and that's it. And there's not going to be any sustainable relationship. The third one is intellectual compatibility. So this is like people who respect each other's intelligence, right? Who share ideas and have their intellectual interests that are similar, right? People who find their conversation stimulating and interesting, who love to talk about like their grand visions and ideas in the world and things like that, who are on the same page when it comes to things like, as much as I hate to say, like politics and their view on the world, but there's that intellectual compatibility. And then the fourth one is what they call eternal compatibility. It's like that shared vision, right? There's that compatibility that's infused in the relationship that's like dimensional. It's spiritual. It's when they share a same mission, a vision that kind of transcends their needs and wants and looks at the bigger picture. So like, what transcendent vision do we share? How would we like to contribute to the greater good? What kind of impact do we want to make on the world? What kind of home do we want to build together? How do we want to raise our kids? How do we want to have the people that are in our life? What legacy are we leaving? So those things are all really important. And of course, the first three, you know, the physical, emotional, intellectual, are all subject to change, right? Because we grow, we age, we mature. But the fourth one, that spiritual shared vision, is really what will kind of sustains past that lifetime. So no matter what you go through in life, the physical, emotional, intellectual, that vision doesn't change. Your vision and mission can take on different shapes and forms, but your fundamental personality, your essence, your personal mission, that doesn't change. So as you evolve and grow in your partnership, it elevates to different levels. So that compatibility is something that really will help sustain that relationship moving forward. And that's something to really dig into. And as you're dating somebody, that's something that you uncover as you go along. And that's why you date. That's why you date, is to see how compatible you are. Of course, sexual attractiveness, attractive physical attraction is what draws you in. But as you move through and develop a relationship, all of those compatibility factors come into play. And that's what makes that sustainable relationship, and is growing friendship out of that, growing that connection and that emotional connection, the intellectual connection, and then that spiritual connection as well. So that about wraps things up for the day. Thank you so much for tuning in and giving this episode a listen. I would love for you to add this to your list of regular podcasts that you listen to. Also, I've got so many things in the works right now. I'm really excited. I've got several free masterclasses coming up. I've got some workshops I'm hosting. So I would love, if you are interested in any of the classes that I teach, to go ahead and give me a follow on Instagram. That's where I post most of my things. My Instagram tag is @IAM_TanyaAlberti. And you can follow me there. And I would love to connect with you either on Instagram or on Clubhouse even. And let me know, reach out to me if there's any topics of interest you want to have discussed, or if you're interested in any of my offerings, please feel free to reach out to me there. You can also email me at info@TanyaAlberti.com. I would love, love, love to hear from you. So I hope you have an amazing day, and take care, and see you next week.